Welcome to Folio, an actual play podcast about solo and epistolary TTRPGs. I'm your host, Seda, and I'm showcasing multiple possible experiences of self-paced games by inviting guests to play them alongside me so I can compile our stories together. You can support the show financially at patreon.com/foliopod or with a one-off donation at ko-fi.com/foliopod. Reminder that this show is going to be taken off of Spotify distribution around the end of August. I explained why in the last episode. If you missed it because you're listening to the series out of order, don't do that. Don't do that. This is episode 2 of our games, A Friendly Neighborhood Superhero, a solo RPG about protecting, befriending, and improving a community by Cat Scratcher Studio. The other two chummy local protectors joining me today are Gwen Frankenstein and Jeff Stormer. It was Jeff's birthday yesterday. Go do super cool about it. The thing I need to do next is go to the local radio station and convince them to put out an emergency bulletin telling people not to go to the town square. Because obviously the festival is just about to start, right? Like, that has to be the stakes here. And I'm going to go to the radio station because people still listen to the radio here. You know? It's a cool town. And they probably also post it on social media, whatever. But I know that people will trust them, but I have to go and talk to the radio DJ, and I'm gonna roll on the personality table from the Helping Neighbors section to see what the personality of this particular radio DJ is. Ambitious. Perfect. Good. Okay. Because what that means is I can be like, hey, this could be like the story of your career, right? Or like this could be like this could put you on the map in part. Like you could be the person to tell everybody that this is happening. That's going to be a heart roll for feelings, I think. Ambitious personalities are impressed by power. Do I want to be mean to myself here and say that that means that this is resisted? I do. Okay, so what happens is I show up at the radio station and I'm going to try to convince this person like, hey, people are in danger. I'm going to do a heart roll. Because I rolled on the personality table to see what this person's deal is. You don't have to do this, but I'm purposefully giving myself homework, making myself more difficult by saying that this reporter is resistant to anything except power roles. So I'm gonna roll 2d6 to try and feelings them into doing this report. Say, people are in danger, you have to save them. And one of them has to be a 6. 3 and a 5. Nope. So, marking a failure, and I'm adding an experience. I also added the experience from the other failed power roll. And what this looks like is,
I know what this looks like. This is destruction. Destruction here is described as unchecked, your unrestricted force causes problems, which might scare your neighbors and break property. This paparazzo sees me like throw a camera and kind of jump on his camera, and he kind of gets mad, tackles me, and now we are like locked in a fist fight. And now people are coming out, neighbors are coming to look. This is turning into a catastrophe. I am taking a second point of experience here.
Muffin the Chihuahua goes in and snoops around in the landlord's office and finds out that the reason they want to evict Ms. Emerald is because they want to rezone this into a space they can put in condos. Terrible. I don't want that. Knowing that that's their plan, I'm going to return to the office as the Blue Shepherd, and I'm going to... I don't think I can threaten them with legal action while I'm, you know, vigilanted up, but perhaps I can blackmail them into letting my friend stay in her place.
Look, I think that power is the best thing here. I think I'm knocking this guy's lights out. Do I have an ability? Can I use my temperature control here? I think without, like, seriously hurting the guy, no. And I think this is just going to be a straight D6 if I can get a 5 or a 6. Is it worth cashing that second experience point for an extra dice here just to, like, gather up progress to try and resolve this scene? I think so. I'm going to stick with one experience. Grab a second dice here. We're going for 5s or 6s. That's a 5 and a 2. All right, we'll take it. But that's a progress. That's what we want. We want progress.
I don't want to make them evil. So it's not like I'm like, hey, people are in danger. And they're like, kid, everyone's in danger. And they're not like, good. Sounds like that's the story I should chase. If everybody dies, then I'll win a Pulitzer or whatever. But I do fail to really impress on them the severity of the situation. And they're like, you're a mess. I should go verify this myself. Like, I can't just listen to everyone in a mask having an anxiety attack in my station. You know, we'd never meet our quotas. we'd never actually deliver a bunch of the news if we did that. You know, we have to play music too. So I'm gonna go. I'll send somebody to take a look. And I'm like, there's no time. And so I am going to, I want to try and just take the mic. This will be a power roll. Streak is marked on power, so it is resisted, so I'll have to roll a 6. I'm invoking my signature ability here because I'm going to try and grab the mic, and they're going to try and take it back from me while I'm talking. And they're not going to be able to because my hands are very strong because of the gravity. So I'm going to roll 3d6. If one of them is a 6, then I have succeeded and I will get an experience point and a progress point. 1, 6. Yay. Okay. All right.
Now for blackmail, I'm guessing that's a mind roll, which is 3. That's my good skill. Just a sec, let me find the dice that ended up on the floor. That is a 2 and a 3, so not working so far. And a 5, yay, we did it. Wait, no, it's resisted, isn't it? Damn.
So Kelvin straight knocks this guy out, right? Like, just great, one cold cock, this guy's on the ground. Kelvin kind of like stands up, realizes, I think, the immediacy of the situation. I'm gonna try for mind one more time. I mean, I don't love that it's resisted, and I can't really think of a way to like use my power here, but also because I succeeded with power is resisted until I mark progress with another attribute, so I may as well just roll with mind and see if, like, because this is my third point of progress, maybe see if I can like think of a way to help this person get home. I've got 2d6. I just need a 6. That's a 6. Oh, that's a 3 and a 6. Great. Okay. Success. Perfect. Wonderful. That's a third point of progress. And because this was a contested roll, I get a second experience point. That's great. That's good. That's what we wanted. All things good here. I'm feeling great. The energy is good.
Whenever you fail at solving a problem, create a scene describing how your plan was foiled. Well, that's easy. My plan was half-baked. So I now have a point of miscalculation. Wink, wah. So it turns out that was the wrong house. The person who is trying to put in a condo is the landlord across the street. It's already zoned for mixed use, so they're not even fussing around. Oops.
So I've successfully gotten this bulletin out. Or I've successfully gotten on the radio and been like, hey, don't go to the town square. It's dangerous. And I guess the next thing to do would be to try and gather. I want to be able to get the pendants off of the other people, like to gather all of the other ones from around town. At this point, they've definitely cut my mic, understandably. And so I'm going to try and convince this DJ one more time to help by saying like, hey, look, you need to tell everybody to, if they have these pendants, to stop, to like, stop moving. Or I'm gonna head out and start collecting them, but like, I need you to keep warning people because there's gonna be people who didn't hear that. I know a lot of them did, but there's gonna be people who didn't. So I need you to keep warning people. And I'm gonna roll heart for that. And if I fail, then I'm gonna use the extra die to try and solve a problem. So heart, I'm gonna roll 2d6, go to 4 and a 1. So nope, I fail. They just still don't believe me. And they're mad. They're furious that I took the mic from them, which is fair. They could probably get fined for that. I didn't swear or anything. It's all good.
Okay, so that did not work. What else can we do? What else could I do?
Rather than taking an experience point from the failure, I'm going to take an extra die. And I'm going to start going around collecting all of the other pendants from people. And I'm going to try to roll to solve the pendant problem.
Oh, in fact, realizing that I get an experience point for a contested roll means that I actually get a third experience point for that skill roll earlier. So now I am sitting comfortably at 3 experience points. Great. We're making our way towards that 10 experience goal of up in my power. I'm feeling great about this. It's a third point of progress. I think that's enough for me to try and, like, actually solve the problem. I think that's where we're at.
I have 3 progress points and an extra die from just failing. So I'm going to roll 4d6. And the thing that I'm using is skill again, right? This is like precision. I'm going around. Luckily, a lot of people were already on their way to the festival, so it's not super hard to find a lot of them, or at least some of them. And I'm just trying to collect the pendants from them. And so 4d6, 5 or a 6.
I'm going to call this heart, because like I think that like I've got a handle on like how like the I think it really just is like basic communication is the best way to describe it, like how to like explain to someone the subway and trolley routes to get them back to their apartment is like I think exactly what this, especially somebody who is used to driving, like explaining public transit to someone. So this is a 3 dice roll. It is I don't think contested. It's a little unclear. I'm going to say that it's not contested because that makes the most sense as this is sort of like a big finale, but that is a big time failure. Great, which means I lose all of my progress points and have to start building them up again.
6, yay.
This is the longest day of Kelvin's life. This is
6, 5, 2, 1. Okay. So, I succeed. Acquire an achievement for the attribute you solve the problem with. Yay, skill. Everybody thinks I'm good at things.
Not when I wanted that to happen, if I'm going to be completely honest, but that's playing a game, baby.
And I successfully solved the booby-trapped hostages problem. Nobody is booby-trapped anymore.
You know what? We did solve it for the day by increasing that person's sales. So, like, let's leave that one for now. Let's say it's solved for now. And go on to the crime part.
I still have to defeat the quirky genius.
Let's go fight a crime.
Now, it does say typical rules for failure apply here, so I am going to take that extra experience point as I start to build up progress again, because I at least want something out of this, and also a misreading. I think Kelvin thought that this was like a friendly interaction and Joelle is having none of it and is like extremely aggressive about the idea of taking public transit. Which, by the way, that's a shitty opinion to have. Public transit's a great service. It gets people across the city. You should look into your local public transit programs. Advocate for them on your local government level. This is a note from Jeff Stormer playing this game right now. God damn it.
We are being attacked by a human weapon planning to poison the water supply with the mafia. Now, I think it makes more sense that the mafia is threatening to poison the water supply with a human weapon. So there is a person who is toxic. And if this person goes swimming in the river to the west of Golden Pastures, that will infect our local water source and cause outbreaks of disease. Now, why does the mob want to do this? They want to make people leave the area so they can buy up the real estate. This is perhaps connected to the real estate stuff that we dealt with earlier.
Move my streak to skill, so that is now resisted. And what's the challenge here? Do I want it to be finding them? Or, no, they're still, like, floating in their weird little pod that they went up into. They've just been flying around like a weirdo, watching all of this happen. And, I'm gonna try and just drag their ship down. I'm getting up on top of a building. I'm leaping onto their little ship and trying to just pull it down to the ground. And so this is going to be a power roll, and I am using my hyper-localized gravity manipulation to be better at jumping and also then pulling them down. So I'm going to roll 3d6. And what is the genius resistant to? Mind. Okay, so 1, 3, oh no, 5. Yay. Okay, good.
So now I want to roll mind again to see if, like, Kelvin knows anybody that, like, who owes him a favor that he can maybe borrow a car from, to see if he can, like, give this politician a ride home. That's a 6 and a 4. So that is a success on a contested roll. That is a 5th experience point. We're cruising. We're trucking.
I succeed at pulling them down to the ground, and I have 4 progress points. Do I immediately want to try and deal with the genius? Or do I want 1 more progress point just in case?
What we're going to do is go to the public library in this town and try to research the antidote to this particular poison. We can probably saturate the water with whatever will counteract this poison. So that is mind. My mind score is a 3. And I rolled 2 5s and a 4. So that is a success on that one.
He does have a friend that he can, like, tap for a car. It is, I mean, it's the bodega owner, right? It is, it's Mr. Ovechkin, the owner of the corner store. Mr. Ovechkin, he, you know, borrows the car from time to time to, like, go pick up groceries from some of the, like, the further farmers markets and further, like, shops. So, like, Ovechkin owes him a favor. So he's able to secure a car, but then he has to, like, drive it through the city, which is a colossal pain in the butt. I'm gonna call this a skill roll. I don't think his signature ability applies here. That's a failure. Oh, well, then there's absolutely like something happens, I think, to disrupt this. I'm gonna take an extra dice to my next roll. And I actually think I'm going to roll. The game does, like, recommend or something like suggest sometimes, like, rolling on the fighting crime tables to, like, have the two things inform each other. And I think, like, while I'm in a traffic jam driving a very, like, annoying and slightly snobby politician, I think that, like, another thing is going to occur. And so, like, that is what I'm going to roll on. I'm going to roll my 3d20 and see where we land.
In the library, we are able to learn that a specific local plant, the oyster flower, when applied to the water, can counteract this toxin, at least briefly. So that was my step one. My step two will be to use my superpower and the power of heart combined. So together that will give me a 2. I'm going to plead with the local dog community. First, I'm going to get my buddy Vampire to set up a howl like in a Disney 101 Dalmatians to contact all the local dogs, especially, you know, your labs, your Newfoundlands, your poodles, dogs that are very good at swimming. Please, dogs, you love your humans. You know you do. You don't want your humans to fall drastically ill and have to leave this area. You like your home. You like the local parks. You like the local children. You like sniffing around outside businesses and maybe getting into somebody's interesting garbage. You, dogs of Golden Pastures, you love this place. You especially love swimming in the river. You would hate it if you had to leave and move to somewhere without river access. I'm gonna roll and see if I have successfully inspired the local dogs to... No. Well, I think I was plenty inspiring. But I think, I'm going to give myself the misreadings, but I think that they're like, yeah, great, sounds cool. Where are we going to get this oyster weed or whatever? Oyster flower. Yeah, I missed a step. You're right. Sorry, dogs. Shit.
I'm going to try and pull the door off of their ship so that I can talk to them face to face. This is going to be a power roll using my ability, but it is resisted. So I'm going to roll 3d6 and one of them has to be a 6. 1, 2... 1. Nope. going to mark a drawback for power that's destruction. So, yeah, I think it's I'm still on top of the ship. I'd pulled it down to the ground or pushed it down to the ground, and I'm trying to yank the door off, and I just misapply the gravity and accidentally shove the ship further into the road. I've destroyed a lot of roads today. Heroes should probably pay higher property taxes. It is what it is. Probably is a hero tax. That's funny. Okay, that's for another world. That's to think of elsewhere. And again, instead of an experience, I'm going to take the extra die because I'm going to try and solve the quirky genius problem by talking to them. I'm going to be like, hey, what's up? Is there a way I could solve this with skill? Because I would prefer to mark an achievement in skill if I succeed. But is that worth it? No, I don't think that's what this is. Like, I really think I am trying to just talk to this person. So I've got an extra die from the failure. I've got 4 progress points. So I'm going to roll 5d6, and one of them has to be a 5 or a 6. 4. 3. 2. 2.
Well, we are, as they say, back to square one.
It's the fire truck coming to drown my die, which is how I'm feeling. Oh god, that's such a bummer. Okay. Oh, that's such a bummer. Okay, I gotta erase all my progress.
How can we find... Oh, well, my companion is a bloodhound, so... Does oyster flower perhaps smells like oysters? Yeah, that sounds reasonable. If it looks like oysters, then we're into Georgia O'Keeffe painting territory. So I think it smells like oysters.
I try to talk to this person, and I'm being like, I'm trying to be like, hey, don't hurt people, right? And it's just not landing because this person does not care about hurting people. And they're just talking about how the skies should belong to their corporation. You know, they're saying that's their whole thing here is they're trying to wipe out anyone else who has space interests that isn't directly tied to their company, and they cannot be reasoned with. So I guess they have to be taken down.
Renfield, please. Do you know what oysters smell like? All right, so we're going to go to the local fishmonger, and we're going to get some oysters for my buddy to smell. I have no idea which attribute this would be.
An extra-dimensional invader wants to kidnap all pets by way of an army of robots. This is a very big wrench that I don't think I have anything for, but... If I swap out that 18 and 11, if I swap the goal and the method, I end up with conjuring a mystic force through booby trapping hostages. And the idea that like somebody just starts glowing with a like a magnetic force or like an electric force or like a cosmic energy and just starts like glowing electrically and is like getting pulled into some kind of a vortex, probably the source of the powers that have caused Thermal to go off in the direction that he's gone off in, like that is very compelling. There's something very cool in that, and that energy is very exciting to me immediately. I think that like Kelvin in this car, stuck in a situation where he can't immediately help, has to kind of think about a way to like study the situation. So we're going to start with mind.
Let's call this a mind action as well, I suppose. It's sort of research adjacent. Yay, this time I succeeded. Hooray. All right, Renfield. Go on, boy. Let's find a flower that smells just like this, right? Yeah, you can do it. You're a good boy. And so that is probably skill, because it's requiring my mastery over my abilities. Well, I'm going to go super on this, which gives me an extra die, which is a 2.
So at this point, as they're talking, they get control of the ship again. They are trying to rise up into the air, and they're doing it. And I'm going to roll, I think, skill for trying to hang on as they're moving. I think it's skill because I'm seeing it as, like, I'm not just trying to hold on really tight. I'm, like, trying to find the best place to be. Does that make sense? It feels precise to me rather than, like, brute force, because you'd have to find where to hang out, as it were. So I'm going to roll 3d6. My ability, I am using it. So one just has to be a 5 or 6. 2, 4, 2. Oh my god. So.
Now, because this is a crime, one of their approaches is going to be particularly resistant, which means that this threat, this person, this extra-dimensional force, this extra-dimensional derator is resistant to power and also mind. So those two things are blocked, but skill, crucially, is not, and also heart is not. So those are the things that I can roll 5s and 6s. If I'm rolling mind or power, I have to roll 6s. I think in this moment, I'm trying to think if there's a way to use skill here. I don't think there is. I think I have to roll mind immediately, because, like, if I am going to succeed at this, like, I've got to, like, recognize what the booby trap is so that I can disarm it. Or actually, like, if I were facilitating this for a player, like, it's not as interesting to me to spot the device as it is to disarm it. So, like, I'm going to begin with a 4-dice roll to, like, overheat whatever, like, wrist gauntlet or techno vest this person is wearing as they are, like, floating in the sky. I think it is a, like, I'm going to focus on this thing and try to, like, blow it up. So that's 4 dice. That is a 6. That is a success. I'm taking a progress to solve this crime. That's great. And it was a contested roll. So that's an extra experience point.
You can go ahead and mark an experience and a discredit. And I think I just fall off the ship, right? Like, they take off and I'm on the ground. And I think that their plan is to, they're like, fine, you successfully took all the pendants off. Well, whatever. I will just cause an earthquake to force them to have a bunch of kinetic energy and explode everything. Whatever, I'm just gonna do it. And the first thing I'm gonna try and do is get back on their ship by leaping again. And so I'm gonna roll power plus my signature ability, 3d6. Streak is marked, so one of these 3d6 has to be a 6 in order for me to successfully get up on their ship again. 1, 5, doesn't do it. 1, nope. I'm going to change d6s. So, causes more destruction. I just misjudge, right? I try and leap onto a building and I do heavy gravity when I should do low gravity, and I just, like, crack a wall and then fall down. So I'm breaking stuff and they successfully get away.
So, like, the thing pops, this person falls to the ground. Kelvin, like, rushes out, grabs them. I might actually, I don't think so. I think they fall to the ground and then Kelvin rushes to them. I think that, like, the thing that is compelling to me is this extra dimensional presence, this, like, energy being from a cosmic hell dimension, like, pulling through. And I think, like, Kelvin having these powers already is sort of getting pulled towards a vortex. So I am going to energy hand around his throat, start to pull him towards the vortex, and he's going to have to, like, get his way out of here. How will he do this? Can he use his powers? I could do skill again. Let me think about this.
Oh, you know what? I misread my skill stat. I have one more die. Wouldn't it be amazing if this is a success? It isn't, though. Yeah, my buddy does his sniffing around, but he just cannot find any oyster flowers in the neighborhood.
It could go either way. I'm looking at skill. It's on problems by acting with precision, creating an opening, and acting on it, or making things go according to your plan. I'm going to roll 3 dice. I'm going to call this mind. This is going to be an uncontested roll with 3 dice, signature ability. I think I'm going to try and, you know, I looked at a car earlier. I think I'm going to try and cause a car to explode, like a car engine to catch fire, to like cause a, like distract this entity. With 2 5s and a 6, that is a success, baby. That is 2 progress.
Maybe we gotta stop. We gotta redirect. We gotta rethink. We gotta stop the guy from getting in the water in the first place. Now, normally, I would just say, well, obviously, we'll sick some dogs on him before he gets in. But I don't want the dogs to bite the toxic guy. That's his name, the toxic guy. His name is Guy. Toxic Guy, I don't want my dog friends to bite him and get themselves sick, especially if we're having trouble locating the antidote. I think we need to set a trap.
So I think the next move is going to be to try and go to, like, the box of pendants and put a low-gravity bubble around them so that they can't be shaken up. And hopefully the quirky genius isn't actually triggering a whole earthquake, because that would be... that's a whole other set of problems, but... Oh, I was thinking first I have to get back into the town square, but no, I can just run back into the town square. You can get in, you just can't get out. And I run over to the box of pendants that I collected earlier, and I'm going to roll skill with my signature ability to try and put them in low gravity. That's 3d6. I need a 5 or a 6. I rolled a 2 and a 6 and a 4. Okay, I'm good. Yay. I'm going to mark a progress.
Fire, minor explosions, the energy kind of like lashes about, and I think like I'm gonna like try and wait for this thing to emerge, you know what I mean, like this. And I think the visual reference point I have here is the electricity gremlin from Gremlins 2, that's in the movie, and I think it's going to be a fireball to the face. I think that this is a skill maneuver. It is like, you know, pyro from X-Men style, like catching some fire from that explosion, whipping it in the direction of this tunnel just to like force this entity backwards. That is a 6, a 6, a 3, and a 2, baby. Now we're crushing it.
I've got the pendants in a low gravity bubble, so the quirky genius can't just like shake everything up and explode it. Man, losing all that progress is nasty. Okay. So I'm like, okay, I need to find somewhere to put these pendants so that I don't have to hold them, so that I can deal with this villain, this quirky genius. And it occurs to me that maybe I could put them in water, float them in water so that, like, they'll be suspended in there, at least for a little while. And I can go deal with the quirky genius. And what do I want to use to solve that? I wonder if this should be... heart, because I'm asking a business owner if I can like throw a bunch of stuff in their sink. Yeah, why not? I can roll 2d6. I don't think my signature ability is relevant here, but I'm just trying to convince somebody to let me fill up their dishwashing sink and put these pendants in here so that they're less likely to get shaken up. I'm gonna roll 2d6. Rolled a 2 and a 4. It's not going. This is a bad day. This is not a good day. So the thing is, I think I do it. I do fill up the sink and put the pendants in there. But this person is really mad at me, and they're gonna pull the plug to drain the sink. But I still have a little bit of time where the pendants are still suspended in the water to try and go deal with the quirky genius. And what are they trying to do right now? They still really want to blow up this town square, I think. They are, in fact, going to try... They're working on trying to genuinely trigger an earthquake. They have a big, weird laser, and they're pointing it at the ground, trying to make something shift so that a big earthquake happens. Just got to look up real quick. Are lasers affected by gravity?
So I really like this energy that, like, Kelvin, Thermal, and I think, crucially, Thermal has, like, a ski mask, like a balaclava, like, over his head. Like, I don't think we're in costume territory yet, but is clearly, like, whipping fireballs and is, like, clearly in control in this moment. So streak activates on skill.
All the results I'm getting are about whether lasers have gravity, not whether I could bend a laser with gravity. Okay, pivot. What are we doing?
I could try and solve this with power, but I'm going to roll three more dice one more time because I think, like, Kelvin is trying to strategically cause a little bit more destruction to, like, setting up a plan to set up power to really be successful, which is going to be claiming that fourth dice. But I think it's, like, engaging things to make things go according to plan. And that feels very tied to mind, which is contested and is a failure. That is a point of miscalculation.
It hasn't gone well for me so far, but I think I am going to try another heart roll. I was trying to think through in part how I can involve my ability in my heart rolls. And I think what I'm doing is I've been listening to this person talk about space. And they are talking mostly about how space should belong to their corporation. But I'm taking a bet that that comes from them caring a lot about space and thinking it's cool. At its heart. It's been corrupted, obviously. But like that, I think, is the core of it. And I want to use my powers to, like, be like, but look at what we can do when we can all touch the universe. Look what it can do for us. And I think what it is I'm going to have a bunch of debris from their earthquake laser. A bunch of the debris from their earthquake laser, I'm going to start orbiting it around me to, like, try and really connect with them on, like, hey, we all love space. Look at me. So I'm going to roll a 3d6, and if one of them is a 5 or a 6, then I'll do it. I got a 5. Yay. And then a 3 and a 1, or a 1 and a 3, but I did it. So this makes them hesitate. You know, they are like, they've been ranting about, like, this place has to go. And this at least, like, has gotten to them. I don't think they turned the laser off or anything yet, but, like, it has fundamentally shaken their, like, passion. And I think I want to throw all of the rocks that I have orbiting me at their ship to take it down. Or at least throw them at the laser to take it out. Yeah, I think that's probably the thing to do. Is that skill or power? Power would take the whole ship out, and it would probably be skill, like precision, to take just the laser out. I think I'm going to go for power. I am using my signature ability to toss these rocks. So 3d6, just have to get a 5 or a 6. 4. 1. 2. Okay. Mark an experience. And I cause a bunch of destruction. The rocks just bounce off of a shield. There's a shield around the ship, and it just, they all bounce off, and they go through some windows. And I think I'm going to immediately redirect into trying to just destroy the laser, because I'm like, if the laser's coming out, it's probably unshielded. So I'm just going to try and roll, I'm going to, like, pick up more of these, like, more of the rocks that are orbiting me, and try and just take out the laser. So 3d6, I need a 5 or a 6. 1, 2, 6. Thank goodness.
In a real world mystery story, they'd probably be like, we'll call the police for backup. But that's not how we roll here in friendly neighborhood. I don't know, maybe the Golden Pastures cops are corrupt. They probably are. So we got dogs. We got me. I'm a person. Maybe some kind of like tripwire type trap I can set up outside. I'm envisioning like in like superhero toy playsets, there's often like a spring-loaded trap that drops a net down and catches people. I'm a superhero. I got access to that sort of thing, right? I'm going to assume that's either power or skill. And my skill is a better number than my power, so let's roll skill on that. Yay! Thank you, bright green mad science dice.
So, I take out the laser. The villain cannot cause this earthquake, at least. They are less willing to listen to me than they were before because of how I used their hesitation to throw a bunch of rocks at them. Fair. But I think I'm going to do one more thing and then either have an extra progress point or use the extra die from a failure. When I take the laser out, I see the shield on their ship flicker. And so I'm hoping to try and... No, it's not that. It's, I was going to try and make this power because skill is currently resisted. But I think this is a skill roll. I successfully took out the laser, and I know there's that little gap in the shield there. And so I want to try and take the ship down again, sending more rocks through that tiny hole in the shield. So that is a, like, more precise than it is overwhelming. It's kind of in between the two, but I think the precision is more important because it'll just bounce off the shield if I don't get it through that specific gap in the shield. So I'm going to roll 3d6, and it is resisted, so I do have to get a 6. I got a 4. I got a 6! And another 6. So that means I get an extra XP because I succeeded on a resisted roll, and I'm up to 4 progress, which means I'm going to try and be decisive here. I'm going to try the ship. The quirky genius's ship is lowering to the ground, and I am going to try and get them to give up. And I'm going to do it with a heart roll.
I think, like, in causing, you know, in, like, trying to, like, cause more fires, I think that, oh, buddy, I think that the cops are here. Like, I think that people are pulling up, and here's a guy in a ski mask lighting fires, even with the thing, like, there are guns pointed at him. I am going to take the point of experience, take a miscalculation. He is now seen as a bit of a menace.
I'm just like, hey, what I was saying before about how the universe is beautiful, and it's more beautiful if we all get to touch it instead of just one privately owned corporation getting to touch it, it's true. And there's still time for you to come to our side. I'm gonna roll 4d6. I have 4 progress points. And if one of them is a 5 or a 6, we're good.
I'm gonna roll these 3 dice. This is power, so this is technically, I guess, contested. Actually, I can call this skill. So it's 3 dice that is uncontested. But it doesn't matter because that's a 4, 4, and a 6. So that is a successful solving of the problem.
5, and another 5, and a 3, and a 6. Yay! It doesn't mean anything, but I just like to know how hard I succeeded. So.
That is a successful solving of the problem. We're locked in. We're good. We have resolved the crisis. You have solved the problem, like one achievement.
I'm going to mark an achievement in heart.
Effectiveness represents when you succeed at solving a problem through the use of skill. People believe you're capable, know what you're doing. I think that this is just a very kind of like targeted, like that fireball worked before. That fireball hit before. What this looks like is just more of that. Like there's fire on the ground. Thermal is able to like take that fire, blast this thing through a portal, through like the tear in reality, causing it to seal up.
And the quirky genius just starts crying in their ship, right? They're like, they told me it was the only way. Over and over again, they've been saying it's the only way. We have to control the skies. We have to make sure that no one else can touch them. Because that's the only way that we get to explore them as fully as we want to. They said that no one else is going to succeed. And they'll only get in our way. And we have to take everyone else out. So that they won't ruin it. They said it was the only way. And I'm like, you know, I gesture, I put my arms out, all of the rocks that I was orbiting around me drop, and I'm like, here in Iris, we always think there's more ways than one. We think that there's a lot of solutions to any problem. And we think that everybody deserves a chance to fix things their way. The shield, I go over to open the ship door, and it's unlocked now, and They did threaten to blow up a bunch of people, so they are going to have to go and, you know, they're going to go to science jail for a little while and rehabilitate a bit. But then I think they're going to live here and they're going to be really great. They're going to do a great job and they're going to enjoy it. But I leave that for the local authorities, who are not cops. There are not cops here. The science jail isn't actually jail. It's just, you know, this is a villain. They gotta go somewhere to, like, chill out and be taught how to have better interpersonal skills and whatever. That's not my jurisdiction. I'm a hero. I dart away. And the thing that I dart away to, I think, is probably the second part of my day, which is helping a neighbor.
Now, see, this is interesting because now we're back to the neighbor problem. And what we can do here that's very compelling is, like, Kelvin's got the ability to light some shit on fire and actually, like, exploit the fact that there are cops here pointing guns at him. And they already think he's a little bit of a menace. So I'm going to roll 3 dice here. This will be contested, but this will be a mind roll. That's a 6, a 3, and a 5. That's a success. That's a point of progress.
I'm standing outside the warehouse and I'm listening. And I hear the mafia boss, Don Caglione. I don't know. That sounds Italian. Does that mean anything? I don't know. Don Caglione is talking to Guy. And Guy says, "Oh, monsieur, I am going to poison the river. And then the people will move away from this town. And you can buy up all the empty land." "Yes, yes, that sounds lovely. I don't know why the mob boss talks like this, but I can't do a Jersey Italian or Chicago Italian voice, so he sounds like this now." Don Caglione says, "Yes, and then by the time everyone moves away, my oyster flower crops will be ready to harvest. Now they are just seedlings. They have not begun to produce the smell of oysters. Thank goodness, I hate the smell of oysters. But we have them in a special greenhouse, and they will grow. And then we can clean the river once we have purchased all this cheap land. Bwa-ha-ha-ha-ha." Oh, no.
Kelvin is, like, directing the police to this councilwoman as a way to say, "You need to rescue her." And I think, like, is, like, playing it up a little bit as, like, a little bit of a Batman, a little bit of, like, a "I'm a menace." And I think what I'm going to do here is actually a little bit of, I think this is power because this is about magnitude, not skill necessarily. Like, this is about, like, things being big, not necessarily things being, like, targeted. So I'm going to roll 2 dice here. I'm going to use my special ability and try to put on a light show to make it, like, a little bit scary. And that's a pair of 5s. There we go. Okay. That's a second point of progress.
Let's see what the neighbor problem is. Personality is practical. So they are impressed by skill. Everything else that you try to do is resisted. Their occupation is performer. Practical performer. That's fun. Age, adult. What is their trouble? What do they need help with? 13. Finding a missing person.
Now, I'm going to spring my trap and it's going to catch both of them. I don't think I have enough evidence on Don Caglione, but Toxic Guy, man, he's already on the run. He's escaped from prison a couple times already by poisoning the prison guards. You'd think they'd, you know, be prepared for that, but superhero comics, am I right?
So I think this performer is probably here for the festival. Take the shields. The shields go down, or like the around the town square, the field goes down, and I'm like making my way away from the ship, trying to get somewhere where I can change out of my costume. And somebody grabs me and is like, "Hey," it's like a musician. They're in a band and they're like, they say that one of their bandmates has gone missing, and they ask, like, "Did you see them? Like, when you were collecting the pendants from everybody, did you see them?" Because I think that they had one. And I think what this is going to be is that, like, you know how I destroyed a bunch of streets and stuff? They fell in. Not fully. Like, they're not bodily, their whole body trapped in a street. Or are they? Yeah. They were riding their bike with a cart that had a bunch of their gear in it. And they fell into a crack in the street that, like, a big open up into the sewers or something type crack in the street that I did. Oops. And how do I find them?
I think, like, the thing now is, like, they, you know, they're probably rushing towards the councilwoman, but, like, now I kind of need to, like, get out of here. And that to me feels like skill. This feels opposed or resisted. But that's a 4, a 6, and a 6. So that is a third point of progress. I think I am, like, using the explosions and the fire to, like, duck behind a corner. I am now going to roll mind to see if everything goes according to plan. And that's a 3, a 2, and a 6. Okay, there we go. This is what needed to happen.
I think, like, the musician that I meet is, like, they live here. Our rehearsal space is here. Can you please help, like, I'm going to go to the rehearsal space if you can go to their house. And I'm like, yeah, sure. And I have this sinking feeling because I know the road is one that I destroyed by throwing a spaceship into it, or, you know, a little hover ship into it. And I'm going to go and go down this road, and I see this person. Are they in the crack, or is it that their gear fell down? I'm just trying to think whether, like, finding them right away would be sort of, like, solving the trouble, or if, like, rescuing them is the trouble.
As they shake hands in agreement of their contract, money changes hands, and Toxic Ghee gets up to leave, and Caglioni follows him, and they trip the tripwire, and bang, a net falls on them, and they are scrambling to get away. Ha ha, I've got you now. The Blue Shepherd cannot allow this to continue. And I guess at this point I call my trusted police. That seems to be how this sort of thing works. I don't like that, but...
I think, you know, I've got my 4 progress points. I might just try and solve this right away. And I think, so I come along and I see this big hole in the ground, and this person is down there. I don't think it's that they fell into a sewer. It is really just, there's a crater, and they and their gear fell in, and they, like, they could maybe get out, but they couldn't get out without their gear, and they're not going to leave a bunch of their expensive gear at the bottom of this crater. And so I'm going to try and immediately solve this with skill. I'm going to, you know, try and help them float the gear out of the crater. And so I've got 4 progress points, and I'm using my signature ability, which I think I can add 2. So I'm rolling 5d6. And musician is practical and impressed by skill. So this is not a resisted roll. This is just a 5 or a 6 on 5d6. A 1, a 6, yay, a 4. A 3, a 2, and a 4. Well, got my 6. Doesn't even matter.
This is all what needed to happen to get done with this very, very long, very, very bad day. Ducks off. They, like, grab the councilwoman. They load her into a car. She gets home safe. The papers report, like, a strange masked menace. The thermal nightmare, as he is referred to in the papers. And Kelvin's okay with that. They didn't get his actual face, which is the thing that matters. I do get to mark a point in control. Control represents you succeed at problem solving through the use of mind. People believe you are able to come up with a solution for every problem, no matter how hard, keeping the community safe through a feeling that everything is under your control.
I'm going to mark effectiveness. That's the skill achievement.
Who else do I call? I got to call. Oh my God, I'm going to call poison control. Yes, hello, poison control. Yes, this is the Blue Shepherd speaking. I have apprehended Toxic Ghee. Please send your operatives as soon as possible to Port Royal Boulevard. Yes, thank you. Mount Royal, whatever I said it was. Click. And me and my canine pal slip away unseen before the poison control officers arrive. And also Don Caglioni's expensive lawyers. You don't know who I am, so you can't pursue legal action. Neener, neener, neener.
And I think that's it. I sort of just, I help them get their gear out of the crater, and they look at me significantly, and they're like, so any idea what caused this big crater? And I sort of, like, eyes widen slightly, and I'm like, there was a situation. I don't know if you heard on the radio. And they're like, uh-huh. Well, thanks. Guess we should install a bridge temporarily. And I'm like, yeah, that's not a bad idea. Thanks. And they're going to go on their way and reunite with their bandmate. And so I think I'm good to call it a day.
Which brings us to the end of our day.
And now to conclude our day.
Calling it for the day. Calling it in for the day.
Naturally, we reset everything. We recover from streaks. We reset our progress.
Create a scene to end your day. Go back to your place and rest up or check on your neighbors. Oh, I mean, I'm going to go to the festival, right? I'm going to change back in. Oh, no. First, I'm going to change back into my work clothes, go back to the cafe. And I think in this particular instance, we're going to pretend that no one really noticed. There were probably a couple people who come in. And nobody would have been coming into order because the town square was locked down anyway. So we're all good. I got away with this one. I'm going to go and finish up my shift. and then go to the festival.
And I get to either choose a crime goal or a neighbor trouble to solve permanently. Describe that solution, mark your choice of problem down. Whenever it comes into play again, every roll receives one extra dice to solve it.
So the goal was planting bombs at the town square. I think the thing that makes sense here is that I permanently solve the finding a missing person trouble. Obviously, this will have to be abstracted somewhat if that comes out, but what this looks like here is like fixing the damage to the roads so that people don't fall into it. And yeah, that will have to be abstracted a little to see why I get an extra die. But you know, people are like, I should be careful. Yeah.
The logical option here really feels like Kelvin has been studying the sort of wrist gauntlet that made a connection to this other world and like is trying to understand the thing that is like the energy source, I think, that is giving him his powers. He's trying to understand this because clearly there is something like a cosmic presence that is much larger than Kelvin that is the source of his powers and is the source of the powers of everybody else in the city.
Me and my buddy go home, job well done eventually. But first, we're going to check in on our friend from before, the jewelry designer, Ms. Emerald. Now, even with our help, Ms. Emerald does still live under capitalism. And I feel like that's a little too much to just say, okay, we're going to solve the problem by ending capitalism. But perhaps we can solve the problem by purchasing her building ourselves? We can make it be known to the corrupt, mobbed-up landlords that she's under our protection. And if you're going to keep raising her rent, there will be more consequences from dun-dun-dun-dun, the Blue Shepherd. Yes, so I'm going to go on my secret superhero social media and post about how Ms. Emerald is under our protection because of her wonderful service to me and Vampire, making us these special collars that we now use on all our adventures. And if anyone messes with her, they are messing with us. And remember, we're the ones who just busted Don Caglione. We are not to be messed with. Good night, people of Golden Pastures. Sleep easy.
The final piece of the day is that I have 8 points of experience to spend. I know I had been talking about potentially waiting until I have 10 experience to up my power, but I think I'm going to do, for now, especially after that was a particularly stressful day, I'm going to up my signature abilities power by 1 so that I'm rolling 2 dice whenever I'm using my powers. And also, I am going to wipe one of these points of miscalculation. I think that is going to like allow me to stay in the game and push towards like a positive outcome, which I think is where I'm trying to head towards.
I have built up 4 experience. Yes, 4 experience. Ooh, I can get better at talking to dogs. Yes, I like that. Yes, I'm going to level up my special ability. Now, when I need to talk to dogs, I roll 2 extra dice. Heck yeah.
I think I have 9 experience, so I think I'm going to bank this because at 10 XP, I can increase an attribute or earn an achievement or get a new signature ability, and that's big. So I think I'm just gonna bank it, just gonna hold on to it and head to bed.
And with that, you know, in his one bedroom apartment, like he's sitting over a soldering iron with the windows to open, like trying to like dissect this gauntlet, that is where we end day 1 of Kelvin's story.
And that's the conclusion of day 1 of our adventure.
So that didn't end up a lot faster. I guess in part because I erased all my progress in the middle there, which I think if I were just playing a regular game wouldn't feel so bad, you know? But because I'm recording a podcast and have certain time limits, it's a little tougher. So I just want to prioritize having enough progress points that it's very likely I will succeed on challenges so I don't have to erase progress. I'm looking at dice probability calculators. Once you get 4 d6s, the chance that you will roll at least 1, 5, or 6 is 80%. 5, you're looking at nearly 90%. And at 6, you're at a little bit over 90%. So I definitely want at least 4, maybe 5. We'll see. This has been Folio, an actual play podcast about solo and otherwise self-paced TTRPGs. To find where you can find the show, check out foliopod.card.co. You can find Gwen at Gwen Frankenstein on Blue Sky. You can find Jeff at partyofonepodcast.com and jeffstormer.com. You can find Seda, that's me, at gaygothvibes.online and follow me on Blue Sky at posedachips.gaygothvibes.online. Next week, Gwen and Jeff and I will continue our games of Friendly Neighborhood Superhero by Cat Scratcher Studio, found at catscratcher.itch.io. Everything I mentioned here is linked in the show notes. Thanks so much for listening, and take care out there.